I am so excited about today's episode as we're featuring three important conversations that have taken place on this podcast when it comes to compassion, because that's the subject of the upcoming Compassionate Leadership Certificate offered by the Healthcare Experience Foundation that I'm encouraging all of our listeners to check out and learn more about, which you can do by following the link in the description of today's podcast. First up, we're going to talk with Mark Rooley about what compassionate healthcare leadership needs to look like, and then we're going to explore the burden of empathetic distress in healthcare. That's a conversation with Kathleen Lynham. And rounding out today's episode will be an interview with Katie Owens, who's talking about the importance of tackling compassion fatigue. Yeah, and getting, you know, personal with some stories, I was curious if there were any kind of, you know, compassionate leadership gems or anything like that you wanted to talk about with our listeners, because I'd ask you a little bit about this in the pre-show kind of back and forth that we had before recording.
One was a real appreciation for self-compassion. A lot of times with our leaders and our managers, they feel like, well, I need to help these other people. And of course, we know where they're coming from. These are very generous people who have joined the healthcare teams, who are trying to make things happen in healthcare. They know compassion, they understand compassion, and it's very easy for them to give them themselves to other people. What they don't do, and they know they don't do it, is take the time to look inside themselves and be compassionate to themselves. So let me switch gears here for a minute too, because there's another story that I heard about 4 weeks ago, and it surprised me in a way, but it's not surprising when you think about everything that has gone on. I was talking to a senior person at a major healthcare organization, and he was saying to me, what used to happen 5 years ago and 10 years ago is not happening. Something different is taking place. And here's what he was describing for me. It used to be where the people we knew who joined in and wanted to be part of healthcare, they did that, and it was a real lifelong commitment for them. So they might start out as a nursing assistant. They might go to school. They might become an RN. They might then be promoted to a management position, et cetera, and kind of build their career. And sometimes they built their career in the same organization because they love the organization. And sometimes they'd move around a little bit. So they would start out as a nursing assistant in one facility. Then they would move to another facility as an RN. And then in order to get the promotion into a management and leadership position, they might move to a different facility. And we were very used to seeing people do that. And it was always interesting to me that the people I met 20 years ago when they were a nurse, and now they're a manager or a director in a nursing, in a facility, but it wasn't the same facility that I met them at when they were a nurse. So they moved around a bit. But this executive, the senior executive, said to me, he said, people are not doing that as much anymore. First of all, we do not see people moving into the management positions the way we used to see them moving into the positions. And there are a couple reasons for that, and we can go into more detail if we need to. But here was the amazing part of this story, and it points to the need for compassionate leadership. He said, people are leaving the industry. They're leaving healthcare. They're moving away from healthcare because they don't see healthcare as being healthy for them. And that was kind of that mind-blowing situation. And so as we started to think through that a little bit, we said, wow, okay, we understand, you know, the pandemic happened, certain things took place, people are experiencing this kind of burnout. We know the workforce itself is struggling a bit. So when we look at compassionate leadership and we say, we have some strategies in order to take care of some of that. And I won't say that there's any one answer to the entire problem. There is not. However, compassionate leadership gives us some clues as to how we can help both staff and leaders take care of themselves in the current environment, which is different than the environment was 5 years ago, how they can take care of themselves so that they don't experience that burnout that has them wanting to leave healthcare, which then, of course, creates more problems. And then who do you replace them with? And we don't have enough people in the pipeline. I think the program that we have going on right now gives our folks who attend even greater hope for themselves to be able to go through and to be a leader and to be a manager and to help their people, which is what they want to do, to be successful, even though the environment that we're in today is a lot different than it was 5 and then even 10 years ago.
So empathy, I think to simply break it down, it's a two-part skill. The first part is about recognizing and being aware of someone else's perspective. You've heard the cliche, walk a mile in my shoes. It's about putting yourself in someone else's situation and seeing things through their eyes. So it can be about their perspective or their emotion. And the second part that I think is often missed, especially I've observed this in all the coaching that I've done with physicians and nurses with their patients, they understand what they're going through. But the second part of empathy is acknowledging, wow, you look worried, you look concerned, that must be frightening. So it's acknowledging with concern, oh, this is something you're experiencing. And that's really important for the patient healthcare relationship. But we also know in the workforce today, an empathic leader, someone that relates with their staff and says, how are you doing? How are you feeling? You look a little troubled today, or, you know, is everything off? Recognizing and demonstrating empathy in a consistent manner is really important for the workforce. People who work in an empathic environment with a team, they're more productive, they have better outcomes, just like our patients. So empathy is not just, if you will, solely related to a patient and a healthcare worker's relationship. It's much broader than that. It's helping our own family with our kids and our spouses also. Does that help clear it up?
It does. And I'm curious, is empathy and compassion the same thing?
You know, we get advised all the time in our coaching world, I am empathic, or I am compassionate, and I know what people are going through. And so I'm a Jersey girl, so we talk a lot. But the short answer to that question, are empathy and compassion the same thing, is no. A better answer is an empathic person is someone who has a high level of perception. The more empathic you are, the better you can demonstrate compassion. So empathy is about the continuum of emotions or perspectives. But compassion, on the other hand, is solely linked to suffering. So it's recognizing that someone is suffering, and that feeling of concern and the other part of compassion is not only, wow, these people are suffering, I want to help. I want to do something for them. I want to demonstrate and respond to their suffering. So empathy, the continuum of emotions and perspectives, compassion, which again is needed in our healthcare world for our patients, for their families, and for all of us who are working today, compassion is really, really important to acknowledge and recognize people are suffering.
So I'm going to summarize a number of different definitions of compassion fatigue, but at its core, it's an interpersonal, physical, and mental exhaustion, and really a withdrawal emotionally experienced by those who, you know, have been exposed to, you know, trauma or extended stress over a period of time. And it's different than burnout. Burnout is that syndrome of emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, a sense of low personal accomplishment that leads to decreased effectiveness at work. What's interesting in terms of the difference is that compassion is both the, you know, a source of fatigue, but it's also the answer. When we can grow our skills in empathy, when we can grow our sense of self-compassion, we can combat compassion fatigue and be more interpersonally compassionate with ourselves and others. Compassion fatigue can happen to anyone at any time in their career. It's when you are truly burning the candle at both ends and not taking the opportunity for self-care, self-compassion, establishing daily habits that renew and refresh. And there's this great story from a physician. Let me just read it. Today, I made a medical mistake. Today, I apologized. Today, I felt awful. Today, I was human. And as this physician was leaving work and trying really hard to be self-compassionate, she saw a bumper sticker that read, "Grace happens." And so to me, that is a perfect example of acknowledging the raw emotion that we face, especially in healthcare, especially under the chronic stress, but also recognizing that we are people and we need to be kind to ourselves.
That is a great story, Katie. I think that highlights a lot of what we're discussing on today's episode about compassion fatigue. Any other thoughts on what can be done to prevent compassion fatigue or perhaps battle it?
Sure. Really, the anecdote is compassion. It's self-compassion. The research shows there's three pillars to self-compassion. First is self-kindness. And this can be hard, especially as a perfection-driven industry that we are for all the reasons in healthcare. It's treating oneself with warmth, respect, and care, avoiding judging ourselves harshly for personal or professional limitations and flaws. It's kind of unconditionally accepting ourselves for the strengths we bring to the table. It's also the second piece of common humanity, acknowledging that we're all part of this, you know, common human experience. And that does mean we are going to be imperfect and we're going to experience pain and suffering and difficulty. And rather than, you know, putting up barriers and being isolated by those difficulties, it's recognizing that we are interconnected. We do all have positive intent and we do all have limitations, and appreciating the strengths we bring to the table. And then the last piece is mindfulness. That's that clear, balanced awareness of being present in the moment, experiencing the range of emotions without, you know, over-exaggerating, you know, the negative things. It's remembering to balance out the positives and recollect ourselves when we do feel that we're experiencing that stress and duress. Resiliency really gives us power.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Healthcare Experience Matters. Healthcare Experience Matters is brought to you by the Healthcare Experience Foundation. To learn more, please visit healthcareexperience.org. That's healthcareexperience.org.